Welcome back to part two of our It Is Possible Tuesdays with Sanya. We're talking about trauma. And I think the last thing we spoke about was the impact of culture or cultural background impacting on how we handle trauma. The fact that as Caribbean people, we tend to roll with the punches and we don't air our dirty linen. And we keep things in-house. We don't necessarily go to a counselor and say to them, we're having these concerns or problems, or we've had this traumatic experience and we'd like you to help us to unpick it. But we have recognized that it is something that has worked. And we may not necessarily want to take everything on board all at once, but we do need to be educated about what is available to us in terms of how we deal with trauma, PTSD, how we deal with difficult situations, how we ensure that we are taking care of ourselves so that we can be whole people. You know, we always have the consolation of knowing that Jesus himself endured something quite traumatic. And one of the things that Jesus did when he was going through his trauma was to ensure that he surrounded himself with people who were there for him, or who he thought would have been there for him, because he had his disciples and he took three of them off to pray with him. So I think we as Christians can say that one way of dealing with trauma is to talk to God. Jesus gave us that example. He actually took himself away and prayed. And his trauma was such that he was overcome, and he actually asked for this trauma to pass from him. So I am thinking that we have been given this tool. Good afternoon and welcome, Jackie. We have been given this tool of prayer to help us in our state of trauma. But we also have the Bible. And I just want to share something with you, which I kind of like very much. And I'm hoping that you will see the benefit of it when I read it to you. And it might be something that you are familiar with in terms of what it is saying. And the passage of scripture, I'm not going to tell you where it's taken from. And this is for you to see if you can tell me after I've read it. So it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm going to stop there. Anybody wants to tell me where I took that from?
Romans.
You are correct. You are so correct. You know the part of it that I love? The part which says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm so happy for that part. We are conquerors, which means that whatever trauma we will experience, it is possible for us to come through on the other side as victors, as overcomers, as conquerors. We do not have to be pressed down. We do not have to go under. We can rise. we can overcome, we can conquer. I want us to look at I want us to look at types of trauma. Can anybody give me any idea of the types of trauma that we might undergo? I gave you a hint earlier. If you were to put them into categories, what would be the two main categories that you could put trauma in?
Physical and mental.
Physical.
Physical and mental. Okay, thanks. Anything else?
I think, physical, mental, and secondary.
Okay, the secondary, which normally comes when the association, yes?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Jackie, welcome. Where are you from, Jackie? Jackie, are you there? Okay.
Danielle, Jackie's a friend of mine.
Oh, thank you.
She used to work at Edmonton County with me, right, so I've just invited her.
Oh, lovely. That's fine. Fine. More the merrier. Let me share something with you while you're thinking about the types of trauma. We spoke about the adverse childhood experiences, and I gave you a few, but I want to show you something else. When we talk of trauma, we actually think of them in two main ways: acts of God and acts of humans. And when we think of acts of God, we're normally talking about natural disasters. And if you live in the Caribbean, a major disaster that you're likely to experience is something that is happening now. There's supposed to be a hurricane heading towards the Caribbean. It should have landed either yesterday or today, but I've not heard any adverse information as yet. So we talk about earthquakes, you know, hurricane and earthquakes. And I'm thinking of a major hurricane that I experienced in the Caribbean. And I'm thinking of Gilbert, you know, a song was made about it, Wild, Wild, Wild Gilbert. Your roof went off and you could see it floating away. Your satellite dish went flying as well. You know, you could actually see trees bending. I saw massive trees being tossed from one side to the other. I'd never experienced anything in my life like that. And a lot of times when people go through traumas, their reaction might be quite strange. I remember we sat looking through the window, seeing roofs flying off, seeing trees bending, and being quite amused. And I think it was the shock of it that amused us, because we didn't know how else to react, you know. And when we went out of the house, because it was the quiet of you after the storm, and we saw the devastation, we were like quite amazed. But it was afterwards, when we had no light and we had no water for days and months, that we recognized how much of a negative impact it had on us. You know, so natural disasters. I remember my cousin, there was an earthquake. She jumped from the second floor of her high school and broke both ankles. That was a trauma, a traumatic experience, you know? But then when you think, oh, that's natural disaster, earthquake, hurricane, cyclone, tornado, I can't really do anything to control that except to make sure that I have all, you know, follow all the protocols that they put in place, ensure that if you're to be evacuated, you go, you have all your important documents in a waterproof envelope or something, you know, you do all those things. You do that. But the impact is still there. But when we look at things like acts of human or human-induced trauma, which may be deliberate or premeditated, or may not be deliberate or premeditated, it takes on a more severe impact. Can anybody say to me why the impact might be more severe when it's human-induced trauma? Why do you think it might be more, have a stronger impact on us? And when we talk about trauma that is induced by human, we may think of things like betrayal.
I suppose because we have, would like to have, you know, hope in the fact that people can be trusted, you know, that, you know, they are not abusers or, you know, attackers or, you know, we to a degree trust in humanity, or we want to trust in humanity.
Anybody else? One of the things that trauma does is to take away a sense of being safe. Trauma takes away a sense of having power. It takes away a sense of having a choice. And when this is caused by the human element, it is more severe because there has been some sort of emotional involvement or investment. Somebody can only negatively impact you if you have opened and made yourself vulnerable to them. You know, so if somebody betrays you, you invested time and emotion into this relationship. And this relationship doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It can be any relationship with another human being where you have spent some time with that person. So it could be student teacher, it could be work colleague, it could be the person who drives you around, it could be the person in the supermarket who, the cashier. So any sort of relationship, once you have been placed in a position where you're not feeling safe, it is traumatic. Has anybody ever had their homes broken into? Anybody? No?
Attempted burglary.
Okay.
And
was it in the daytime or in the night?
During the daytime whilst I was at work.
Okay, so you weren't there?
No.
Okay, so okay. And how did that make you feel, Natalie? You weren't there. Mm-hmm. But
I was very angry, and I know maybe it sounds a strong word, I felt violated. Because this is my home, and somebody tried to enter into my private space.
Yes, yes.
And I supposed to take something that they did not work for.
Yes, your sanctuary.
Yeah,
was violated. Yes. And
I can identify with that as well. It was also attempted. We returned home from being at church all day. Returned home on Saturday night to find our neighbor standing outside, a police car, and the emergency window repairs boarding up the porch.
Wow.
So that was quite traumatizing.
Yeah.
It's also very scary.
Mm-hmm. How did you...
It unsettled me for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you feel you feel in the eye of the world.
Yes. Yeah.
For a very long time.
Yes.
But thank God it was attempted.
Okay. Thank you.
But the effect was no less.
Yes. And I fully understand, because I was going to ask you the question that you answered, you know, how did you respond to it afterwards? How did it make you feel afterwards? And you said you were quite unsettled afterwards. Lorraine, you wanted to say something?
Yes. To also say mine was a situation of attempted, and I back onto a park. So I just happened to, I was home alone in the shower, came out the shower, heard the doorbell. Mm-hmm. But by the time I got to the door, nobody was at the door. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, from my understanding, it was coordinated, but by the time I came back from the front door, I saw somebody jumping over the back fence from the park, which totally, you know, shook me to the core, really, because that's not what I was expecting. So, you know, I went to into a situation of freeze or fight.
Yes.
Or flight situation.
Yes. Yes.
I went for the fight.
Yes.
But, you know, God is so good that he, you know, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if the neighbor even saw what was going on, but she was just shouting very loudly in her own language.
Yes.
Which scared the person off. Yeah. But for me, you know, it was very traumatic, extremely traumatic, because you don't know at that point when, if you're going to be face to face with that person and what the outcome of that would be, you know, and you've got to think on your feet, but you can't think, if that makes sense, you know.
Yes. In your mind, you're thinking, I need to protect, I need to save. Attempted, Natalie attempted, Lorraine attempted, you all felt violated, exposed, vulnerable, you know. Antipat, you had somebody, you had people who were there doing things, helping you already. Lorraine, your neighbor was shouting, you know, and that kind of helps in the situation, but you never get over the feeling that you have been exposed, that your safety has been compromised. I remember in Jamaica, I had acquired the keys to my house, and before I moved in, I decided I was going to have a camp out. So a friend of mine and I went, and with our sleeping bags, went into the house. And somebody actually didn't just attempt to come in. They stood by the door and rattled the door and then opened the door. And I ran after I tried to pretend God that. But I ran shouting. And the person just stood there, quite intimidating in the present, or in his presence, and I ran. And I remember that I eventually went to the police station, and I was so nervous that I was shaking when I was talking to the police officer. I also remember that I could not tell my mother for a while. I pretended that it didn't happen. And the reason I dealt with my trauma that way, by not telling my mother, is because I knew if I had told her before, she would have said to me, you can't leave and live on your own. And I thought I was saving her from having the trauma as well. But it made me extra vigilant when I actually went to that house. I put in burglar bars. I made sure that I had everything in place to make sure that I was safe. But it didn't stop the impact of the trauma. It didn't stop my having had the experience. It made me super vigilant. It kept me on my toes because I wanted to ensure that I had a choice in who came into my space. Natalie, you spoke about the violation of somebody coming in. I wanted to make sure that I could keep myself safe, and I wanted to have some power over the situation. And when people are traumatized and they are in receipt of therapy or treatment, the idea is to give them back that safety, to give them back that power, to give them trust, allow them to trust others and trust situations again, but to empower them basically, to give them what was taken from them. And it's not very easy for that to happen. It's not very easy for your trust to be rebuilt when it has been taken, especially when it has been unexpected, because these things don't happen. They're not planned. You don't plan for trauma, do you? So you can't actually say, okay, I'm going to have the first part of the trauma here and the second part of the trauma here. No, trauma comes to you in an unexpected way. But having said that, is there anything that we can do to deal with trauma in a less, in a way that is less adverse? In other words, when we have trauma, how do we handle it best? Any ideas?
Well, one of the ideas that you gave, sorry, was to, you know, to pray about mm-hmm. what you've experienced, and also to, you know, I give thanks, you know. So, for example, in the situation that I experienced, you know, I give thanks that yes. I didn't have to go head to head, and the fact that they didn't enter.
Sure. You yes, know, yes.
So giving thanks also is a way to help manage that.
Yes, yes. Was it Paul who said, in whatever situation I find myself, to give thanks? I'm paraphrasing badly. yeah. but how easy is it to do that, though? How easy is it for us to experience a violation, to experience loss, and say thank you, and say, you know, it could be worse? How often do we find ourselves being able to say that?
I'm trying to practice it.
Fantastic.
I'm trying to practice it, you know, and I think we touched on it on Sabbath with the 10 lepers. Mm-hmm. And I know Natalie and I have all discussed this sort of at length, this topic before, on one, just one coming back to say mm-hmm. thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may not see the whole the outcome, the whole outcome might not be how you would like it to look,
yes.
but try and find something within that, you know, situation that you can say thank you for.
Yes. In everything that we do, we get better when we practice. And Lorraine, you said the right thing. You're practicing to do it. And I think although we can't plan we don't plan for trauma. So we don't say trauma one is going to happen here and trauma two is going to happen here. We can plan how we deal with it. And I earlier mentioned about self-regulation, where we talk ourselves through situations. So it helps us. So we know, okay, if this is likely to happen, if this problem happens, or if this situation happens, this is how I can handle it. This is how I can cope. This is how I can deal with the situation. I have a strange habit. When I go into the bathroom, I take my phone with me. Because I keep saying to myself, if I fall in the bath, at least my hand might be able to reach to the phone and I can dial the emergency. Okay? It might not happen. But I've tried to plan for things like that. And I think that there are strategies that we can teach ourselves so that we are better able to handle trauma when it comes to us, or that the impact will be less severe because we have practiced it in our minds. We have done a run through in our minds. Now, having said that, I don't want us to think that I'm saying that we can minimize or trivialize or make trauma seem as if it is something that can always be put in a little box. No. What I'm saying is, if we have a mindset in a particular way, we can handle our problems or trauma in a much more positive way than if we didn't have a plan. Okay, so if you are riding your bicycle, all right, you know the different things that can happen to you. So you know you need to have your helmet on. So you put your helmet on. You know you might need to have shin pads or knee pads. So you get those things. So in a similar way, I'm saying there are going to be different situations that we meet upon. We're going to meet upon trauma. Okay, how have people dealt with trauma in different situations? Okay, so that's what they do in that situation. Maybe I can also do that in my situation. And it's interesting because Lorraine, you made a point about people who are in war-torn areas and the trauma that they undergo. The trauma that they undergo and how they handle it. And one of the things that we've seen is, for example, that children are encouraged to draw to help them to deal with the trauma of being in war. People who are in prison, I don't know how many of you have ever had met up on human rights, but there's this program that human rights do where they encourage people to write to people who are incarcerated, okay, who are in isolation because of their beliefs. And that's one way to help them to have some hope because there's somebody outside who's thinking about them. So there are different things that people have put in place to deal with trauma based on what has happened before. And so we have something of a template or a blueprint to help us to deal with trauma. And no two events that are traumatic or no two experiences that are traumatic will be the same each time or for each person. So we will never ever have a one size that fits all, but we can have an idea of how we deal with trauma that are similar. And I just want to encourage us to always see the possibility in difficult situations, the possibility in traumatic situations, the possibility to come through on the other side when all we're seeing is darkness and walls and difficulties and stress and disturbance and dissonance. I would like us to see that it is possible to have a silver lining, to see a shaft of light on the other side, so that we don't give up. Because when we give up, it means that we have no hope. And we cannot afford not to have hope. And sometimes we have to fake the hope until we really have the hope. I want to finish reading something to you. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Trauma is there to separate us. Trauma is there to take away our hope. But we have the word of God, which causes hope to spring eternal. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And trauma is put there to separate us from the love of God. I want to share with you my last screen slide as we come to a close to today's presentation. You know, when there's trauma, we have a variety of consequences. You know, people go through dissociation, where they take themselves away from the situation or from themselves. You know, there's depression, people become bipolar, you know, they become anxious, people experience substance abuse, their psychosis, personality disorders, physical illness, you know, a whole range of things. And sometimes we meet people and they have a negative reaction to us and we don't know why, and we're really upset with them. I just want to remind you of something, you know, a quotation I found. It says, "Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always." Be kind always. And I want to leave you with a statement. And the statement is this: you're not invisible. Whatever you're going through is real. The way you respond to it is real. And I'm hoping that our talking about trauma today will give you an idea that your response can be a healing response. Not only can your response be a healing response, but your response can be positive. It is valid. And you can find ways to help yourself out of trauma. Trauma, it will never be easy to handle. It will never be easy to talk about. But if we take the first step, it will help us into healing. It will help us to enter into wholeness. It will help us into being restored and re-energized. Whatever your trauma is, remember, you're not invisible. You're heard. You matter. You are important. I see you. I hear you. You matter. You are important. We have just touched the tip of the iceberg on a very deep, multi-layered topic, trauma. And today we didn't have any experts talking with us. We were just talking amongst ourselves. I'm hoping that we'll be able to have some experts to give us some specific things that we can do at another time. But I want to thank you so very much for being here with me on It Is Possible Tuesdays as we had a look at trauma. And we're going through a traumatic situation now. COVID is no dream, you know, it is traumatic. But I think we have been weathering the storm very well. And I am happy that you took the time to be with me today as we had our little talk. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for spending the time with me. Thank you very much for sharing your views with me. I'd like to invite you back next week when we will have a special guest all the way from Jamaica, a young lady who has a very interesting story to share with us. Please make sure that you're back here with me next week. But for today, thank you for making It Is Possible Tuesdays a reality. Do have a wonderful evening. Bye, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Auntie Pat.